we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And you are listening to the Refresh Radio program with Pastor Bob Arthurs. That's me. And I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to start out today by saying thank you to all of you who are supporting WMIE. This week was their spring offering fundraiser. And so we want to say thank you for being a supporter of Christian radio that helps get not only Christian music out, but the Word of God out to where it can touch people's lives. And so for those of you who may be listening and are actually striving to build the audience of the Refresh Radio program, we greatly appreciate your support as well. And so thank you for your financial support to the radio station. Without the radio station, there's no Refresh Radio program, and you've got your radio tuner tuned to a different station right now, because this one wouldn't be here. So thank you very much. We also want to say thank you to the fine folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And with the hot weather, by the way, isn't it great to live in Florida? I was talking to my parents the other day. This goes back a week, something like that. And they were talking about they were going to be getting snow at the same time we were going to, you know, be getting up into the upper 80s and into the 90s. And I will take upper 80s to 90s in April over snow. I'll take just about anything over snow. I'm not a big fan of snow. It's great to see on television. If you ever had to drive in it, if you ever had to shovel it, you ever had to use a snowblower, then you'd greatly appreciate it. You say, why are you talking about this when you're saying thank you to the folks of Creative AC Solutions? It's because if your AC isn't working, you're going to need somebody to call. And if you're here in the central part of Brevard County, Bill Andriak can come and he can get your unit up and running and keeping you cool as the temperatures rise. Yours won't be rising with it. So you want to have him come out and take a look at your unit to make sure that it is running at optimum performance. That means lower electric bills. And if you are having lower electric bills, you'll be able to recoup the cost of that service call very quickly. If he can get it running to where you're not using as much electricity, then it's money in your pocket. Several years ago, when we replaced our AC units at the church, our electric bill dropped substantially. I mean, a lot. And so through the years, we've taken some steps to increase insulation. When we had our roof redone back in 2004, we insulated the top of the roof, and the top of the roof, and then the roof coating on top of that. And that saved us money. We've insulated in the attic, and that saved us money. We changed the air conditioners, and that saved us a lot of money. So whatever you need as far as air conditioning or heating, give Bill Andriak a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this week. I will be preaching another in my series on The King Is Coming. I started off with Jesus came to die. The King came to die. Then he came to, conquer. He's coming for his bride. And this week I will be preaching on he's coming. The King is coming to reign. He's coming to rule. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, there's a couple of ways you could be a part of it. One, you could, actually come to 165 North Grove Street. Our service starts at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have seats available. We would love to have you come and join us. You get a better experience that way, because on the second way that you could be a part of the program is tuning into our Facebook page, where we do a Facebook Live broadcast, but we only do the message on there, not the entire service. So that starts about 11:15 to 11:30, somewhere in there. So that's the second way that you could do that. Go to our Facebook page, Merit Assembly of God, like us, and then you can watch the broadcast. If you like what you see, would you do us a favor and hit the share button, so that that message will go to an even broader audience than what it has before. So that's coming up this week. But as I do these programs, I go and I review, debrief, if you will, with myself and say, you know, God, is there anything that I missed saying? And I want to take you back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10, where it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And I wanted to make sure that I got the point across that we need to not put God in a box when it comes to his provision and saying, God, it's got to be this way. It's got to be a check that comes in the mail. It's got to be an unexpected blessing that somebody walks up and hands us. You know, that is one of the ways that God provides, and we are very thankful for that. But what this passage says is that Jehovah Jireh is not only one who provides himself and provides miraculously, a ram caught in the thicket where the sacrifice you were going to make is no longer needed because God has provided the sacrifice himself. It is the miraculous provision of the manna, but sometimes he also provides the seed to sow, to where you and I are involved in the process. We need to be aware that the manna stopped once they got into the promised land. It was because now they were going to be participants with God in his provision for their sustenance and for their abundance and for their prosperity so that they would be able to give. So I wanted to make sure that I got that across, that sometimes there is an unexpected harvest and sometimes there is seed that God wants to bless us with so that we can sow that and participate with him. And you know, I found that when you have an investment in something, whether it's your time or your finances, whether it's your energy, your creativity, whenever you are invested in a process yourself, there is a great deal of satisfaction that comes along with seeing that being successful. I know that my father, when we've had conversations along this line, he would say, you know, through my experience with God, whenever I needed provision, he made a way for me to have overtime. My dad was construction. He was not a preacher. He was a pipe fitter. And he said, he was a very good pipe fitter. He was a foreman and very, very good at what he does. But he said, God always made a way for me to have overtime so that, you know, the financial needs would be met. And so I just want to encourage you, don't limit God and say, God, you got to do it this way. Whenever we put restrictions on God and say, God, you've got to do it this way, your fingers have got to be crossed, your eyes, your right eyebrow's got to be raised just a little bit, and blam, it's got. Whenever we say, God, this is the way you've got to do it, I think that God many times looks at it and says, that's not the only way I can meet this need. That's not the only way I can provide. I believe that God still mystifies the devil. I think the devil is still confused and confounded because of God's creative capabilities. You know, who would think that your taxes could be provided by going down and going fishing and pulling up a fish out of the water, and the fish has two coins in its mouth, and you know, go pay my taxes and go pay your taxes with that. I mean, who would ever think of doing something like that? Well, God does. God does. And so let's let God be God, and let's watch the amazing ways that he provides for us, okay? I want to take you to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 33 through 38 for you. It says, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?'" Let me read verse number 31 and 32 as well. "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors.' And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who had testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of his own word." The disciples had gone away to find food for Jesus, who was weary from the journey and was sitting at the well. It said that it was necessary for him to take this path. And he gets to this well, and he's sitting there resting at just the time that a woman with a questionable reputation throughout the community came, and at a time when she would not ordinarily be coming for water. And do you know what Jesus did? He asked her to draw him water out of the well. It kind of took her aback. She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And so now there's a dialogue going on here, because Jesus had a need, and he asked this woman for a drink of water. And she was like, "This is highly unusual. This is highly unusual." It ends up leading to a dialogue where this woman is intrigued in her spirit and begins to confess, "You are the Messiah. You're telling me everything I've ever done." She goes back to the village just as the disciples are coming. And while they are gone, or while she is gone and begins to broadcast throughout the village that this man's told me everything I've ever done, and that causes the people of the village to come out and see what's going on, the disciples come back, and instead of finding a weary Jesus, they find a refreshed Jesus. And they said, "Take something and eat." And he says, "I have food to eat, which you do not know." When was the last time that you were invigorated by obedience to what God was asking you to do? You may have been weary physically. You may have been drained financially. You may have been strained emotionally. And then God, at that point in time, asked you to do something for the kingdom. And you said yes. And you found that instead of being even more wearied, you were strengthened. You were revived. You were refreshed. Because that's what happened to Jesus, to the point that the disciples said, "Did somebody beat us to the punch? Did somebody bring him something to eat that we are unaware of?" And he explained to them, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, he goes from that into an explanation of harvest. John chapter 4, verse number 35, he says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" That would have been the natural timeline of the harvest. They would have looked at it and said, it's 4 months away. It's 4 months away. And Jesus said that there is a harvest that is not only natural, but there is a supernatural harvest. And it doesn't operate by the same timeline. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next broadcast or two. We're getting real close to the end of this series on sowing into the Spirit. But he says here that there are still 4 months to harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He's telling them, you got to get your eyes off of the natural, and you've got to allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you what is taking place in the heavenlies. He says, lift up your eyes, look, the fields are white unto harvest right now. And I remember a service where I was in attendance back when I was a teenager, and a missionary came and explained that when a wheat field was white unto harvest, it was at that stage where it has to be harvested now, or it's going to go to seed. And God is not a God who wastes anything. And so you and I, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there may be people that you may not expect to embrace faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will say to you, now is their time. This is their hour. Today is the day of their salvation. And at that point in time, you and I had better be ready. I remember watching a Christian film years ago about a community. It was an agriculture community, and this family planted, you know, acres and acres and acres of grain. That's what everybody in that community did. And something happened. I don't remember the entire plot of the movie, but just about harvest time, just before harvest time, the farmer died. It was a young man, a young woman with some kids. And I think the name of the film was The Harvest, if I remember right. And he died. He died, and the crop is almost ready to harvest. And many family farms operate on a very thin margin. And so they were at the point, if they did not get the crop in, they were going to lose their property. And what happened was, everybody else in that community rallied around the family without the family knowing about it. And one by one, all these farmers who had their own fields to tend to showed up with their big tractors and their big harvesting equipment. And side by side, they got this other farm's grain in before they even went to work on theirs, because there was an urgent, urgent need. And folks, that ought to be the way that the body of Christ works. The body of Christ ought to function where it is not just about Merit Assembly of God, and not about East Coast Christian Center, not about Calvary Chapel, not about First Baptist Church, not about River of Life, not about Destiny, not about Celebration Tabernacle. It's not about just our individual churches, but that it is a kingdom mindset. That I still believe the word that God spoke to me years ago, that if churches would focus on building the kingdom, that God would focus on building the churches. And so there is that window of opportunity that must be seized. So when he says that the fields white unto harvest, it is a call to action. It is a call to say, you know what? I'm going to operate on God's timeline, not just my own timeline. It goes on in verse number 36 and says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So there is this urgency about harvest, and it says that he who reaps receives wages. There is going to be a reward for being involved with the Lord of harvest in the harvest field. It is not all about sacrificial giving. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God is not all about sacrificial giving. It is also about the harvest. That there is a harvest, and the sower is not supposed to be excluded from the celebration. The sowing is many times the hard work. Now, if you're harvesting okra, that is also very hard. If you're harvesting cotton, that is also very hard. If you're working in any, you know, large produce field, there's going to be some challenges that come along with that. It's hard work, but there is rejoicing that takes place when the harvest. He goes on and it says, and gathers fruit for eternal life. Have you ever stopped to evaluate? We're going to, as we're winding this topic down, we're going to, you know, ask for some self-assessment. And, you know, I won't be able to see if you raise your hand. Nobody will know how you evaluate yourself and things like that. But I want to ask you, is the harvest that we're gathering, the fruit that we're benefiting from, is it temporal or is it eternal? Many times churches get onto the here and the now, the buildings and all of that sort of stuff. But I want you to understand that the true spiritual wealth is in people. People are the things that are going to be eternal. My family sold a piece of property. My mom and dad sold a piece of property, been in the family for 69 years. The church that bought the property, first thing they did was tear down all of the buildings that were there. 69 years. You know, I remember repairing roofs. I remember putting on the siding. I remember getting up in the middle of the night and thawing pipes, hauling water before city water made it out to that community. Putting in windows, all of those hours and dollars that were invested, and now there is no evidence that those homes were ever there. It's temporal. It's temporal. We need to lift up our eyes and say, God, help us to remember what you are looking for as is an eternal difference. People are that eternal reward. We need to say, you know what, God, there's going to be life. There, it's going to go on for all of eternity, and we want to take as many people as we can to get there. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were describing a family relative that was extremely materialistic. Said they're a Christian, but just very materialistic. And they were trying to communicate with them. It's different state, so, you know, don't worry about it. It's not my family. This is somebody else that was talking about this. And they kept trying to reach this person and saying, you know what? You can't take any of that with you. The rich man who was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns was said, don't you realize that tonight is when you're going to have to give an account? It's not about being rich or poor. You don't go to heaven because you're rich. You don't go to heaven because you're poor. You've got to be recognizing the tremendous gift of God that is in Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Lord and life. But once you are saved, God assumes that you and I are going to want to be involved in the harvest. I have a couple of missions gifts that have been given to me through the years. One of them is, they both came from Fiji. I was teaching in a Bible school, and they sent me a tribal fork. It was the chief's fork. It was what he would use to, the chief always got to eat of the first portion, and he had thrust his fork down into a pot, and that's how it worked. It doesn't look anything like the fork that you're going to use tonight at dinner. The other was a war club, and it also belonged to the chief. And I remember several years ago that I brought both of those things out to the church, and I said, the reality is most of God's people want to use the fork. They don't want to be involved in the labors in the harvest field. They don't want to use the spiritual warfare that is necessary. And they don't want to be involved in the hard work. They want to feast at the table, but they don't want to be involved in the field. I want to encourage you that you and I, we're going to get to reap eternal life because the Holy Spirit is working in people's life, convicting them of their sins and bringing them to the place of repentance. Brethren, what must we do to be saved? That's one of my favorite portions of scripture. I believe that God wants to bring people to that place where they're saying, you know what? I need to be saved. Can you help me? Can you lead me along the way? It goes on and it says that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. That is the thing about the harvest, is God is not looking for the reapers to benefit more than the sowers, for the sowers not to reap greater than the reapers. He's looking for both of them to rejoice together. And so I know that that what was taking place in the Samaritan village, that there was going to be great rejoicing that took place because these people were putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that many more believed because of his own word. So I pray that you are going to have a great weekend. We're going to pick up on this passage again on Monday. We've still got a little bit more. We'll move on into our next topic as well. But I want to say thank you once again for making WMIE a part of your giving and for participating in the spring offering. If you missed your opportunity thus far, you can still call in and say, hey, I want to be a part of what God is doing there. 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. Tell them you listen to the Refresh radio program, and we will see you on Monday right back here on WMIE on the Refresh radio program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be a man for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.